defined natural family planning.
But more to the specific of the question, as far as having natural family planning be a precondition for marriage itself, I just want to read a couple of canons. Has anybody ever seen the Code of Canon Law? Okay. That's nice. Okay. But I don't want you to abuse this book. What I want you to do is understand how the church's theological teachings have been embedded in the law to promote the good of the body of Christ, which forms a unique society, and the administration of one of the sacraments given to us by Christ, and how we can be the best of stewards. So I just want to read a few of the canons that will... That's with one N. I know my name's two N's. It's God's joke on me, but... I'm just going to read a couple of things here, and I want you to pay attention to them as we address this particular issue. Canon 10.95, the matrimonial covenant, using that Old Testament understanding, the matrimonial covenant that flows through the New Testament, by which a man and a woman establish between themselves a partnership of the whole of life, is by its nature ordered toward the good of the spouses and the procreation and education of offspring. This covenant between baptized persons has been raised by Christ the Lord to the dignity of a sacrament. So when you have two Christians, you have a sacrament. When you have a non-baptized person and a Christian, it's a covenant, but a natural blessing that flows from the beginning of creation. What's really important about that understanding, and here's the next one with Canon 1058, all persons who are not prohibited by law can contract marriage. So there are some people that are prohibited from contracting marriage, either by natural law, by divine law, or ecclesiastical law. And, for instance, you cannot marry your sister. Okay. Is that natural law? Ecclesiastical law would just say, if you're a cleric and you have not been dispensed from the vow of celibacy, the promise of celibacy, you are prohibited from marriage. Then there are, other kinds of ecclesiastical law. For instance, they're particular sometimes to countries. The age of marriage varies from country to country. So this beautiful gift from the beginning of creation, this matrimonial covenant, is a natural right that cannot be unduly inhibited. You can't prevent someone from exercising a natural right. Now, someone said to me, what about the right to the sacrament? What about the priesthood? I mean, can I be unduly inhibited of the priesthood? Well, priesthood is not a right. I can't demand to be ordained a priest. But two Christians can require the sacrament. So all persons who are not prohibited by law can contract marriage. The pastoral response, Canon 1063, pastors of souls are obliged to see to it that their ecclesial community furnishes the Christian faithful assistance so that the matrimonial state is maintained in a Christian spirit and make progress toward perfection. And this assistance is especially furnished through, and there's a whole variety of different kinds of things, catechetical education, liturgical celebration, preparation for the parties, and all of those different types of things. And then the local bishop, and this is where it comes in especially regarding marriage preparation programs and what should be in those things, it is up to the local ordinary to make provisions that such assistance is duly organized, even after consulting men and women of proven experience and skill if it seems appropriate. So that's where you all come in. You become the experts for the local bishop and pastors and exercising this very, very important responsibility for marriage. Now here is another little one that people really don't hear a lot, but this is Canon 1096. For matrimonial consent to be valid, it is necessary that the contracting parties at least not be ignorant that marriage is a permanent consortium between a man and a woman, which is ordered toward the procreation of offspring by means of sexual cooperation. I don't need to go into detail on that. But the subparagraph says, such ignorance is not presumed after puberty. So, as far as the church's law is concerned, and this is something, now this is where we're getting the tension, as far as the church is concerned, the average person, male or female, in society, by the time they have passed through puberty, understand that there is something unique in marriage that requires conjugal love, conjugal relationship, to have children. I mean, so that's kind of really basic, and it is basic because church law is universal. It's applied to cultures and societies everywhere. So the standards for marriage, as far as the church is concerned, when you look to see if a person understands what they're doing, there is no dearment impediment. A dearment impediment is an absolute prohibition against the particular marriage. That they're doing this freely, that they're not withholding their consent in any kind of way, there's no conditions and such. And so you do an examination and you find out that their heart's in the right place, their mind's in the right place, and they understand what they're doing, then they should be allowed to exercise their natural right to enter into marriage freely. It's kind of reasonable. In our culture, though, the problem is that we're finding that people don't know. And our hearts are saying, they got to know. They got to. This is going to be such a help to them. And so the tension comes between the distinction between marriage preparation program requirements and prerequisites for marriage. Now, people say, are you doing like a card trick here, Father? They need it, but you can't give it, you can't demand it. No. A bishop can put and require any type of content in marriage preparation programs that he considers to be important and critical for a couple preparing for marriage to at least have some kind of knowledge of. Maybe not detailed marriage, but... So, what are the things we typically kind of do in marriage preparation programs? We'll do... what's one? What's one you always have in a marriage prep program?
Communication.
Always respect each other. Never go for the dagger that you only have to stab them in the heart. Intimacy, once it's been violated, is hard to get back. Communication, yes, absolutely. We never go to bed angry at each other. Yeah. Got to know how to use those five languages of love. Okay, any other things?
Finances.
She likes to spend. I'm a little conservative. She wants to give the money away to every poor person she sees. And I'm going, you don't know the guy. Find out who he is. I anointed this man who was a faith-filled Catholic. He was a veteran. And I first met him. And he started evangelizing me about the love of God and being generous and kind. And I just listened. And he was just, how it's so important for us to care about each other. And he was that Samaritan going down the road that would always see the guy that needed help. His wife said to me, after he died, she said, Father, he'd go down to San Francisco. I'm in Travis Air Force Base, so... She said, he'd go into San Francisco and he'd get these street people and bring them home for dinner. And I was always kind of worried that they're going to kill us, but nothing really ever happened. Finances, communication. What's another one?
Sacramentality.
Sacramentality of marriage. Yeah. The covenantal nature of marriage. Theology of the body. That's one of my things that I love talking about, how you can embody God's love and make God's love real and be passionate about what you're doing. And if you adore your wife, you adore your husband, they see that in your eyes. It's like magic, and there's no other better place to be. Yeah. Something else?
Parents.
Parenting. I don't have a mother. She died, and we're just by ourselves, and we're kind of nervous about having children, and does church give us any kind of, what do we do? And, parenting. How to be a good parent. Big issue for young couples that no longer have Aunt Josie down the street and Uncle Fred down there to come over and watch the kids.
Conflict.
Yeah, conflict management. Yeah, how do you argue about issues and don't tear up the person? So, when you look at all the different marriage preparation programs, and we do that through the profile, typically we'll look at especially the content of what those programs have. What's been really, really good to see is that there's been an increasing number of dioceses, and almost I don't know of any diocese that does not include in their marriage preparation programs or something called that, that there is a policy typically where at least an introduction to natural family planning is part of that curricula that that is given out to couples. So that's been a movement which has been really, really good. And trying to get the word out. I wish we had more time. Typically, those presentations only are about 15 minutes to a half an hour. Please. On human sexuality, lovemaking, making babies. Okay. I personally wish it was longer because it's a whole discovery. It's a whole discovery of communication and how male and femaleness works. And I looked, for instance, with the airmen, especially guys, I said, hey guys, have you ever heard of oxytocin? And they're like, I had a couple of young nurses from the hospital there, and they're like, it's women experience it, childbirth, helps childbirth easier, make it easier. And I went, oh, okay. And it's released during nursing and sexual intercourse and cuddling, guys. So when she wants just you to hold her, she has a sense of peace and feeling loved and things like that. And it's more meaningful than maybe even having conjugal relations and having sex because it's just more satisfying. And you're just holding her hand and cuddling her. Something starts happening inside where her body says, this is the guy. So when she says, you want to hold my hand? Hold a hand. put your hand around. Yeah, put her, yeah. Want to watch TV and just cuddle on the couch? Yeah, let's just cuddle on the couch. That's great. And he's like, oh, okay. So, lots of discovery. I mean, it's exciting stuff. I remember an elderly woman, she was like 82 years old, came up to me and I talked about body prayer. And how, I do this with young couples and I'll say, when a husband's loving his wife and all of the caressing and care and passion and excitement and orgasm and joy and celebration that God is there. And you're like, what? God is there. He's right there with you. It's like, because it's beautiful. It's meant to be a beautiful thing. Surrender of a husband and a wife together and celebrating their love for each other. God has to be present there. That's what makes one of the things that makes marriage holy, that surrender of self to the other and imitation of Christ. It becomes your body prayer. And again, young couples kind of like go, body prayer? God's really there, Father? Yep, God is there. God is there. It's a holy thing. And then sometimes contraception will come up. And I'll say to the young couple, well, if when you come together as husband and wife, and you're holding each other, loving each other, kissing each other, having conjugal relations, and celebrating the festive part of marriage, do you want anything getting in the way of that? Do you want any gesture not to be a holy gesture? If this is meant to be something beautiful and holy, and it just changes their whole understanding of sexual expression and what this is supposed to mean. talking about the larger perspective. What I've been giving you is a larger perspective because natural family planning, as talking with some of my confreres and NFP experts, is that NFP is a tool. It's a tool to help couples realize a greater way of, and better way of loving each other and celebrating life and embracing church teaching. It's not an end in of itself. It's not an end in of itself. It's a means to an end. Properly done, properly understood, properly presented, seen as a gift, offered as something that can enhance your love life in ways that you never ever thought of, that Cosmo will never teach you or any other kind of publication, who wouldn't want that? And so a lot of the issue regarding natural family planning, and you'll hear this, and whether it can be mandated or not as part of the marriage preparation program has to do with how it's presented. Clergy sometimes are the worst at presenting things. I will admit that. On behalf of all of my brothers who don't quite get it right sometimes, people love to know how to be better lovers deep down. And if we talk, and as Dr. Matari likes to say, in convincing language to people, then the mystery that we're trying to lead them into through this incredible series of different types of methodology and whatever method one chooses can be of great help. And that always needs to be the heart and soul of what we're doing, offering as a gift. That helps a couple be led into the mystery of living out God's vision of human sexuality and love.